We're here. It's Wednesday, Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it is your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. And we finally, for the first time in forever, talked to Jim Harbaugh, Michigan head coach. First time since the post game after the Citrus Bowl on January 1st. It's the first time we've had him as the media, and we got him via Zoom today. So we are going to talk about things that he said the whole time. We're going to get to the question that I asked him, which I think is really exciting, talking about some of the guys that showed up and really, really impressed. But first, before we get to that, I'm sure anyone that's been on social media has seen that there has been controversy surrounding Jim Harbaugh. I think it's ridiculous. I think it's so ridiculous because these are the types of things that don't need to happen, right? This is the type of stuff where I talk about politically that we should not be having these excerpts that people use to try to bring people down or to have that hot gotcha moment, right? I'm sick of it. Happens all the time in politics. Happens on both sides, but it seems like more often than not, whenever there's something that seems like, A, that's outrageous that person said that, chances are they said something before or afterwards that made it significantly less outrageous. Such was the thing that happened with Jim Harbaugh today, and it was by my colleague Austin Meek that started this firestorm from The Athletic. He had tweeted, Jim Harbaugh on moving forward with plans for fall football season. COVID is a part of our society. It wasn't caused by football or caused by sports. There's no expert view right now that I'm aware of that sports is going to make that worse. Now, that got 2,000 retweets, 2,000 likes, more than 2,000. It just moved up from 1.9 to 2.1 as I'm on Austin's Twitter page here. And all kinds of people are quote tweeting it, blue check marks, being like, this is absurd. Hey, I have a PhD in whatever. And here's why Harbaugh is wrong. Here's the problem with it, though. By the selective quoting, Meek left out a big, big part of what Jim Harbaugh said. So we're going to go ahead and listen to it. And you're going to hear everything that he said, and you're going to realize, oh, wait, that wasn't a big deal at all. Because, yeah, the way that Meek put it out there makes it sound like Harbaugh is being very obtuse, being like, hey, football ain't going to make it worse, so let's do it. Right? Not what he said, though. Take a listen.
Morning, Jim. We're expecting the Ivy League to cancel or push fall sports to spring, maybe even today. I'm interested in your general thoughts on maybe pushing football to spring, due to the virus, especially if students aren't on campus at some point. Just your thoughts on all of that and the possibility of moving season down to address, everything going on.
Yeah, my thoughts would be, it's a different conversation if there's no students on campus. If students are on campus, then, my personal belief and as a parent of a daughter who would also be on campus, that this is a safe place. I mean, as safe as possible would be, within our university, even in our athletic buildings and complexes, the safety precautions that have been put into place, I would feel good with the oversight of the medical oversight for students, student athletes, students in general. So I would want the responsibility. I would want the responsibility of keeping our players safe and also educating them. Would not want to come off of that guard tower of educating and and keeping our players safe. So that, you know, would be the overview of that. I think now if it comes to a point in time where you say that you know, we can't play, you know, it's obvious, it's clear, then everybody would be reasonable and know that that was the right thing to do. But, you know, COVID is part of our society. Wasn't caused by football or caused by sports. And you know, there's no expert view right now that I'm aware of, or that are, you know, agreeing expert views that, you know, sports, you know, is going to make that worse. It's part of our society. We're going to have to deal with it. The, you know, and these kids got to have to do the same thing. You know, they've got to go to school. They're, you know, they've been training their whole lives for the opportunity to play their sport. And, you know, that is, you know, that's my view with the knowledge that we have and time to learn more about it, that you know, it would be, you know, my responsibility, our responsibility, and the player's responsibility also, you know, keep themselves safe, and also, you know, get the schooling and the training that they need.
All right, so context kind of makes that make sense, right? Now that you see what he said before and after. Because what was put out there makes it sound like this callous, hey, football didn't start this, so let's go out and do it. The what happens be damned. Not what Jim Harbaugh said. Not at all what Jim Harbaugh said. You get the entire picture, you realize there's that he's being very measured and saying like, hey, if we can have these guys come back we have everyone coming back to campus, not just the guys, they're already on campus, but the you know, the students and everything. I mean, that's the where he starts it off, is saying it's a different conversation if there's no students on campus. If the students are on campus, then we can do it. I'd feel good about it. So, and as he said, right before Austin got to the little cut of the excerpt. Now, if it comes to a point in time where you say that we can't play, it's obvious, it's clear, then everyone would be reasonable and know that that was the right thing to do. Context matters, people. I am so sick and tired of people trying to build their following. Now, listen. Austin might have done this inadvertently, but he didn't delete the tweet. He amended it later after it had already kind of blown up. If you're going to come out there and you're going to do something like that, you need to do a little bit better than just clarifying later. Because guess what? The damage has been done. The narrative has been set. I'm just tired of these types of things that always seem to get Jim Harbaugh. Yeah, get some other guys. Mike Gundy has been under fire. But it seems to get Jim Harbaugh more often than not because people want to take something he said or something he did and try to run with the worst possible scenario. They don't give any kind of benefit of the doubt. And it doesn't help when you have a local reporter doing these things. I'm disgusted by it. I've been reading Alexander Hamilton over the long weekend. I watched Hamilton. I've been obsessed with it. And he talked about Hamilton, as much of a revolutionary as he was, as much as he wanted to emancipate the United States, what ended up being the United States, the colonies, from George III, he was not about to do it at the expense of Tories. There was a guy named James Rivington who ran, I can't remember what it was called, like the New York, no, the Royal something, I don't remember. And he was a Tory, so he was a British sympathizer. He was all about the whole idea of remaining under British rule. And the Sons of Liberty, attacked, went to shut down his print shop, went to just go and ruin him. And people were surprised when Hamilton was like, not on my watch. Don't do it. Because they're like, well, but he said, or what he did, Hamilton's like, not on my watch. Now, it turns out, and even Hamilton didn't know this at the time, dude was a spy for George Washington. So, I mean, that's just to illustrate why you can't have things like this happen. Why you got to present things as they are, in the context that they were given. Don't cherry pick it to make it sound like something else that sounds way more inflammatory. I've done that once before, and I got posterized for it, and I was right to get posterized for it. It was Rashawn Gary said something like about Ohio State. I don't remember what it was. And it wasn't nearly as bad. Maybe it was MSU. It was one of the rivals. It wasn't as bad as I had made it sound. And I got posterized for it, as I deserved to have. That was back when I was a 24/7. All right, let's move on to some more things he said. You know what? He didn't say a lot of interesting things, in my opinion. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that he was asked a lot of boring questions, in my opinion. No one got more than one, except for, I think, Stoney. So it happens. Part of it all. Listen, I have to tell you, chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than charging prices, changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account lock-in. Now, here's the thing. I love RockAuto.com. I've been using it for years. That is a very true statement. I have saved boatloads using it. And the great thing about RockAuto.com is it's a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. If you go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers, you'll find everything from engine control modules to brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. I can attest to that. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. I know you're probably surprised there wasn't a Built Bar. There hasn't been Built Bar ads lately, and that's because we all love them so much they sold out. Completely sold out. They'll be back. Trust me, they'll be back. We'll be talking about them. I miss them. I still have my box. I actually put my box in a place that I forget that I have them, so I have a whole box left, which is good. So, anyhow, got to make them last now. Let's get to the next part. I asked Jim Harbaugh a question. We'll just play the audio and then we'll react to it. I think that's the best way to do it. So let's do that.
Hey, Jim. Thanks for doing this. I know there was a bit of concern coming into the voluntary workouts, at least all summer, about where guys were as far as conditioning was concerned, considering that they weren't able to work out in the facilities. What's been your estimation of the guys that, who, you know, since they returned to working out? And has anyone really kind of wowed you as far as coming in at kind of either tip-top shape or as if they haven't missed a beat or even better than you expected?
Yeah, it's you know, a lot of guys. You know, I think there's been so many examples of you know, guys that have shared things with me. There was tons. I mean, guy that stands out the most is R.J. Moten, who's an incoming freshman that was, he must have a Fitbit watch or something, but he would text me his especially his bike riding workouts. He had a workout where he was riding with a trainer and a few of that as a 32 or 53 mile bike ride, 3,100 and some odd calories that he burned, and he was doing it a couple times a week. And you know, when he finally did show up, and I mean, just looked great. Another example, is Donovan Jeter. Donovan probably played last year at 290, 295, and he's up to about 320, 325 this year. And, you know, and reports that, you know, he's moving better. He's moving faster, quicker, side to side and forwards. So that's, you know, that stands out. And there's a lot of others. But, you know, it's just the, I think their attitude, you know, going into, it's been 120 days somewhat in that area. But the thing we suggested and you know, I think they bought into was Providence will favor the prepared and being prepared. And even the question of will we have a season, better to be prepared and not have the opportunity than to have the opportunity and not be prepared. And I think our guys have done a really good job, really, really tremendous job from what I've seen. We'll get involved as coaches on starting July 24th, where we're going to move to a 20-hour week, and walkthroughs to be incorporated. We'll be on the field with them and be able to really be around those workouts. And you know, right now it's been more of there's safety oversight, of course, but to really get in there and start being around them every day, meetings, walkthroughs, workouts, starts July 24th.
All right, so naturally there's a couple interesting things that come out of that. Number one, I'm going to consider this to be less interesting, but now we know, and granted, he didn't say this is fall camp, so I'm not going to pretend that it's fall camp, but coaches will start to be able to be hands-on on July 24th. So now we know that in a matter of 16 days, the football team is going to be transitioned from conditioning to actual practice-type things. Might not be the actual start of practice, per se, but that's when the transition happens. Next, of course, now I'm surprised not to hear the name Eric All. I was hoping Harbaugh was going to say Eric All. I did not follow up because of the Zoom of it all makes it kind of difficult to do that, especially when we're trying to keep order. Obviously, excellent news to hear about Donovan Jeter. That's what you need. That's what you've been waiting for. A guy like Donovan Jeter to be able to take that step forward from a physical standpoint, to be able to move better. Now, movement has been kind of his thing. That's been an issue. I remember having a conversation with someone tied into the program, close to the program, however you want to put it. And they were saying, listen, we know what Donovan Jeter can do, but like when Sean Nua got to campus last year, he had no idea what Donovan Jeter was capable of and what we had seen going back. He watched a little bit of what he had seen, you know, as far as film of him on the field, saw what he did in practice, and then got to see some of the stuff pre-ACL tear and was like, this is a completely different player. So movement is huge. For him to be able to get into where he is moving and doing things of that nature, that is giant. So hopefully that bodes well. The RJ Moten stuff is just insane. 53-mile bike rides a couple times a week. I mean, insane. That's a lot of cardio. Burning 3,100 calories every other day. I now would say that RJ Moten is almost definitely going to see the field in one way, shape, or form or another. Might just be special teams, but I would bet you're going to find a way to get him out there. So these are excellent things to hear. This is exactly the type of stuff you want to hear. I obviously wanted to hear more. And like he said, I could go on with more. But I mean, he gave a pretty long answer to me. So I'm copacetic with the answer I got. Hopefully we'll get to hear more about some of these guys soon directly from the horse's mouth. All right. Believe it or not, we are already going to move on to segment three. Let's hear one more thing that Jim Harbaugh had to say. We'll react to it. And we'll go from there. All right. I had to try to figure out what was the thing that I wanted to address at the end. Because like I said, I wasn't super happy with a lot of the topics that got asked. Because a lot of them were, you know, would you rather play now or in the spring? What would your thoughts be if it was in the spring? Do you want to go to Washington? Contract extension stuff. I will touch quickly on the contract extension stuff. He said it was almost done. Then the pandemic happened. It says right now it's not top priority. They'll figure that out when the time comes. But like all that stuff is really boring to me. Like I want to know what's going on with the team. The team is on campus. Why weren't there questions about the team being on campus? Like there was a handful of those. Certainly I asked one, but like I said, no one except for I don't think Stoney got two, save for Larry Lage got his follow up, Wojo got his follow up. But that was it. They had typed into the chat saying like, "Hey, we got a follow up." But otherwise, I mean, just a lot of meh stuff when there's so much that we could be talking about. Position battles, quarterback, you know, what's it like to have this running backs room that you've got? The other question I wanted to ask was, what do AJ Henning and Roman Wilson bring to this offense? How quickly can they get, do you feel like you can get them going? What do they look like right now? How fast are they? But we didn't get that. We did get a question about the offensive line, and considering I think this was the only other position group that we talked about, I figure that's worth actually talking about. So here you go.
On the topic of your football team, you had four offensive linemen get drafted by the NFL. You've got a lot of turnover there, but I know a lot of talent as well, and you have one starter back in Jalen Mayfield. Talk about what you've seen from the guys up front and who's starting to emerge in your eyes.
Well, Jalen Mayfield, looks phenomenal as a tackle, as a football player. He's another example of somebody who's really done a great job this entire offseason. Looks great. The other guys, Ryan Hayes, definitely somebody that has gained experience, started at left. Expect really good things from him. And center Carpenter, Astartes, anticipate those two guys battling it out there, and do a great job. The guard position, there's going to be a few guys. I mean, Chuck Filiaga is looking good, doing great. He's really developed, and I think he's ready to play. Carson Barnhart will be another in their guard. Andrew Stuber will be back and is back from his ACL injury that he had last year. He's looking good. So there's some real good guys in there, and they'll be battling for those positions. But overall, I'd say it looks good. It looks good right now, both from a strength standpoint, really good length there, and the athleticism is very good in that group. Ed Warner does a great job coaching them, and we'll know more. We can start getting them together. Right now they're kind of in those voluntary workout groups, but come July 24th, very excited to see them gelling individually. They definitely have done a great job understanding the system. Installs have been probably installed each install three times, you know, if not four. So mentally, very sharp and guys knowing what they're doing.
So, yeah, I mean, that's, again, that's exactly kind of what, where we've been saying it was going to be. Right? Throw Carson Barnhart into the mix, Andrew Vistardis into the center mix. I hadn't mentioned Andrew Vistardis because I never confirmed that he was coming back. I had no idea. I never confirmed it. But nonetheless, I think that there's reasons to be optimistic. And like he said, Ed Werner, he's got the track record. He's done a great job with these guys. You've got plenty of guys that have the experience. You have guys who've been waiting their turn, like Chuck Filiaga. He said exactly what you want to hear about him. And the question is, who's going to be? Is it going to be Filiaga and Stuber? Is it going to be Filiaga and Barnhart? Is it going to be Barnhart and Stuber? That has to be worked out. Carpenter and Vistardis, I'm happy either way they go there. Vistardis got to play against Ohio State when Cesar Ruiz got hurt. So he's gotten some pretty pivotal experience, some moments to actually go into a very pivotal game, and I thought he did pretty well. So you've got lots of opportunities there at the offensive line. I'm excited about it. This just gets me hyped up. One other thing that Jim Harbaugh said that got me hyped up, you know what, let's just listen to it, and I'm not going to comment. Hopefully it'll just get you hyped up as well.
If I could ask a real quick follow-up, football-wise, you've said in this offseason that your team has come as close as it possibly can to a title or title contention or whatever. This team that you have now, I know you haven't had your hands on it yet, so to speak, but do you feel that way about this team going forward?
Yeah, so far I really do. Ojo, it's been a tremendous you know, offseason. Was a great winter cycle that was interrupted. But even at that time, you could really see that you know, from a team perspective, talent and work ethic too. I mean, by their effort and by their talent, we're really. And then I would also add their leadership. They're you know, it's a very, very strong team in terms of that. So that continued through the, you know, when those 3-4 months when guys were away from here, and even though we didn't have spring practice, et cetera, and but now back, you know, I see it, you know, that same momentum, you know, that the guys they've invested a lot, and you know, they're very excited, and they're also they're leading each other. They're leading by example, and they're leading each other, and it's been really at a high level. Now and that workouts get tougher, and time demands get tougher, but yeah, so far so good in terms of the commitment of the team.
I'm fired up, I'm telling you, ready to go. Hear that? I know. A lot of people are going to sit there, well, the coaches always say it, but I mean, that doesn't mean I'm any less fired up for football. If it happens, I'm sure we're going to talk about on Friday or Saturday a bit of the Ivy League having decided to postpone their football seasons until spring. Will it be something that the rest follow suit with? I don't know. I don't think that there's necessarily a reason to do that if there are going to be students on campuses. A lot we don't know yet. Anyway. That'll do it for us today. We're doing the mailbag tomorrow. We will definitely have the third show this week because we didn't have it last week. So we'll at least have that going for us this week. I will promise you that I should be done with a lot of the house stuff I've been doing, and that yesterday I had a family emergency, so I had to rush out of here. But anyway, make sure that you check out Locked On Big Ten, our sister show that covers the entirety of the Big Ten. I've been on it plenty of times, as you guys know. Tell your smart device to play Locked On Big Ten, hosted by Ben Stevens. It's such a fun show. You can tell us to play Locked On Wolverines as well. That'll do it for us. We'll be back tomorrow with the mailbag. Back Thursday with the mailbag.